Good morning to each of you, and greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who died for me to set me free from the sin and myself. And I'm thankful for that this morning. You can open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. You can pray for my voice that it'll make it through this morning. I think it'll be okay. I'm not sure if it's allergies that are bothering me, but something has gotten into my voice. Matthew chapter 27. I'd like to read part of the story here of Jesus and of his crucifixion. And I believe I will start in at verse 32 of Matthew chapter 27. Jesus was on his way. Walking the road, the cross became too heavy for him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, and another on the left. And they that passed by him, reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved himself. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of the Jews, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him now deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Picture with me this morning the nails, the crown of thorns, the cries of anguish, and Jesus crucified for you. Put yourself into the story and picture it. I would like to speak to us this morning very briefly about the Calvary miracles. That's the title of the message, Calvary's Miracles. Did you hear the miracles? As we read the passage, can you name them for us? What were the miracles that happened at Calvary? All right, in darkness, good. All right, the graves were opened. Yes, the veil was rent. Mm-hmm. All right, the earthquake. Very good. I'd like to very briefly look at those four miracles for our inspiration and for our conviction in our own Christian walk and lives. The first one is the mysterious darkness. And you see it there in verse 45. There was, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. The sixth hour, that was 12 o'clock noontime to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was dark over all the land. Luke says over all the earth. It was dark. There's a historian that lived in Egypt over the time, Dionysius, and he wrote of the darkness in his diary. He said this: either the God of nature is suffering, or the machine of the world is tumbling into ruin. There was a star that announced the birth of this Savior, a light that shone, a bright light. It was a beacon of hope. It announced his birth. But in our passage this morning, it was darkness that announced the death of Jesus. The sun, as he looked down, he never saw such great wickedness as this. So much corruption, he hid his face from this terrible scene. 3 hours of darkness at midday when the sun was at its brightest. At its hottest, it got dark. 3 hours, that's a long time. The eclipse lasted, what, 8 minutes the other year? At the most, 7 minutes? Wasn't very long. 3 hours. Think about how unsettling and mysterious and eerie that was. For 3 hours, there was darkness over all the land. Tonight, it will get dark tonight because of the absence of the sun, but this was darkness in the presence of the sun. The darkness of Calvary smothered the light of the sun. The Father is trying to show us, help us to understand, give us a commentary, if you will, of the nature and the intensity of the sufferings of our Savior. And we sing that song, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. Where we sing sometimes, throned upon the awful tree, King of grief, I watch thee. Darkness veils thine anguished face. None its lines of woe can trace. None can tell what pangs unknown hold thee silent and alone. For 3 hours, there was darkness and silence. There's no words recorded for us that Jesus spoke. During his 3 hours, he wrestled alone, wrestling against the powers of darkness. God makes the sun shine upon the just and the unjust. But in this story, the sun, the light of the sun was hid from our Savior. This is the darkest and most awful scene that the world has ever witnessed and has ever seen. And God veiled it from their eyes. Darkness overcame the cross and the landscape, and it was quiet. Well, this morning, how dark is my sin? How dark was your sin? How black was it? Well, Christ came and he conquered the darkness, and let us today also cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Well, there's things that you and I, we long for that are dark sometimes, and when we put them off, there's a place in eternity that the scripture describes to us as outer darkness. This will be the place of final darkness, a darkness that you and I cannot comprehend. We don't want to be there. Will you this morning with me cast off our works of darkness and put on the light of righteousness? Well, in verse 46, the sun returns. And Jesus cries out with a loud voice, and from other scriptures, well, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even though Christ felt forsaken by his Father, have you ever felt forsaken by your Father, but still Christ clung to him? He didn't let him go. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Words that were uttered after 3 hours of darkness that were for Jesus. Still cling to your Father this morning if you're facing darkness. Reach out to him. Cling to him by faith. Hold on to the promises of God. He will be there for you. The second miracle is the torn veil. And we see that there in verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. We have Jesus crying out with a loud voice, it says in verse 50. And from other scriptures, we know what he said. It is finished. It is finished. And the veil was rent from the bottom to the top. No, from the top to the bottom. Behold, stop this morning and look. Stop and look and consider and be stunned by this. The veil that had hung in the temple for centuries was divided, was rent, was torn. That veil separated the holy from the most holy. The purpose of that veil was very clear this morning, and for these people. You couldn't enter into the Holy of Holies. You were on the outside. There was a separation. You couldn't go in. Well, Jewish tradition tells us that this veil was maybe 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, maybe 4 inches thick. This was a massive curtain. Beautiful curtain. And only once a year, the high priest could enter back into the Holy of Holies, and he could sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. First, though, he had to offer blood, a sacrifice for his own sins, and then he entered in and sprinkled blood for himself and for the entire nation. Once a year, he entered into the most holy place. It was a mysterious place. Nobody could see beyond it. Only the high priest. Well, that veil, as our Lord cries out, it is finished. It was rent from the top to the bottom. It was an act of God. God tore the veil. It wasn't the earthquake that tore the veil. Had the earthquake tore the veil, the whole temple would have
been demolished. But God tore that veil, no effort of his, but it separated from the top to the bottom. The way was opened. And God was telling those people and us today, the symbols of the Old Testament, of the tabernacle, it's all over. It's the end of sacrifices. No more sacrifices needed. Because why? The blood of the bulls and goats could never take away my sin. It never could. Well, the way has become opened to us this morning. Right into God. Into the Holy of Holies. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Speaking of Jesus, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. All men can come to God. Jews and Gentiles can now become one. Can now become one man. The middle wall of partition has been broken down. The curtain has been opened. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Nothing this morning can hinder or discourage your access right into the throne of God this morning. The veil has been rent. Well, the veil can also typify our flesh, that old man that you and I wrestle with. That old man needs to be rent this morning. The veil of your flesh needs to be rent. Has to be torn out of you. Christ died, so we must die. How am I doing? How are you doing with the rending of your flesh? Well, the way into the holiest is opened. It's opened, and the invitation comes to us here this morning. There's an invitation that comes to us this morning, and the invitation is let us draw near. Let us draw near by the blood of Jesus. Will you draw near this morning to the throne of God? Well, the third miracle that we see was the mighty earthquake. We see that in verse 51 and 52, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. The rocks were rent. Rocks were split apart. Picture that. Rocks being torn apart, split in two. And it all happened with our Lord's final cry, "It is finished." The Son of God, he cries, and the earth quakes. Well, if you think back into Israel's history, there was once a huge mountain that shook and quaked. Mount Sinai, God had come down. The law-giving God had come, and as he spoke, that mountain trembled and shook as he spoke out the law to the children of Israel. But again, there's a shaking. This time it's a hill that's shaking. And instead of a law-giving God speaking, this is a sin-pardoning God who is speaking, and the earth is shaking. Oh Calvary, where you and I were delivered from the condemnation of the law. There is now, therefore,
No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The earth quaked and trembled under such a load. The Son of God was crucified. The earth quaked as if it was afraid to even drink the precious blood of Jesus that was dripping down into it. This blood was much more precious than the blood of Abel, and it quaked as the blood of the Creator dripped into it. Perhaps the earth quaked as if to swallow up these hard-hearted men that put their Creator to death. It had done that before, right? Abiram and Dathan, the earth opened up and swallowed them up for much lesser crimes. The earth was quaking. God says by his prophet Amos in chapter 8, verse 8, he says, "Shall not the land tremble for this?" Well, the quaking of the earth testified of the fatal blow that was dealt on Satan's kingdom. What a fatal blow this was. The earth recognized it, and it shook. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." God had prophesied that the shaking was going to happen. In fact, all nations were going to be shook. They now could all come. God was going to draw all men unto himself. Well, the rocks were rent. The hardest part of this earth felt this shock as the Son of God was crucified. And Jesus had just a day or two before, had just told the Pharisees, "Look, if these children stop singing unto me, the rocks are going to cry out." Well, the rocks were crying out, and they were splitting. They were being rent. They were proclaiming the suffering of Jesus. In fact, the rocks were even more sensible than these hard-hearted Jews. They were more sensible to the wrong that was being done than the hard hearts of those that crucified him. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 6, "His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him." The prophets all pointed forward to this time. The rocks are thrown down. The rocks were split. Well, as you and I think about the rocks and the earthquake and the hard rocks being split, you know what? Our rocky and our hard hearts must also be rent. Not your garments, but your heart. Has your heart been rent? Has it been rent? The heart that will not yield under the gospel message, the heart that will not yield to Jesus being set forth as crucified, is a heart that is harder than the stones. It's harder than the rocks of the earth. Has your heart been rent as you think about Jesus being crucified for you? And the fourth miracle that we see is the strange appearance of dead saints. We see that there in verse 52, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." Graves were opened. Specific graves were opened. Graves of believers. Graves of those who had loved Jesus and had looked forward to Christ when he came. This was not a random happening.
This morning, the Lord knows exactly every grave which marks one of his. He knows where they are. He knows where every redeemed body is. Notice this morning the timing of this event. The graves were opened, and when did the saints come out? After the resurrection. Jesus this morning is the first fruits of those that slept. The bodies went into the holy city, and they appeared unto many after Jesus rose. This is an event that actually happened. This is true. This is real. It's so mysterious, and we have so many questions about it, but let's not this morning lose what God's trying to tell us by giving this to us, because we have so many questions about it. There are some things that you and I can glean and get from this that God wants us to see and to get. And someday, if those questions remain, we'll understand that by and by. What was God trying to show us by this miraculous happening? Was there any more powerful way to show us that our Lord has conquered death? He has robbed for the believers the fear of dying. By dying this morning, if you're in Christ, you can be assured of life, everlasting life, spiritual life, bodily life. You can have faith in that. You can believe that. God is able to do this. He did it here. This strange and mysterious resurrection assures me that my own resurrection is sure, and yours is too. It is very certain. Well, Jesus tells us back in Matthew chapter 22, he says that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14, God says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. This is God's promises to us this morning. Well, I thought of the scripture in Revelation chapter 21. In verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city. There was a holy city back in Matthew chapter 27 too. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I believe that this event in Matthew chapter 27 was a shadow of what is to come in the future. As sure as it happened here, it will happen very soon. And the question that comes to you and me this morning, will you and will I? Will we be among those saints that are walking in the holy city, New Jerusalem, and appearing unto many? Is that going to be you this morning? Will that be me? That's the question that comes to us from this passage. These saints arose and went into the city. Well, as Christians this morning, by the power of Jesus' death, we are called to rise from the death of sin to a life of righteousness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Have you been raised up this morning in a spiritual sense? Have you been raised up with Christ? Are you sitting in a heavenly place this morning? Or is your place is a place of corruption and darkness? Christ is able to raise you this morning. Look to him. Well, as I sat here this morning, I thought that there's five miracles in this passage, and I missed it. There's another miracle here that I thought about, and that was the Roman centurion. And his testimony, truly, this was the Son of God. A Gentile soldier, hard-hearted, doing his daily job, no idea what he was doing, killing three men. It was part of his life. But after the events, his heart was broken and rent, and he said, surely this was the Son of God. And this morning, that's another miracle that still happens today. God is able to change a wicked heart, a heart that's cold and dark. He's able to change him. Praise God for the miracle of the Roman centurion and his testimony. Is that your testimony this morning? Truly, Jesus is the Son of God. Well, this morning, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people.